Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SWP. I think this may be the longest we've ever gone between episodes. And I don't even know
who you are anymore.
Yes. I don't know who I am even on this show.
I don't even know who you are anymore. You don't answer my letters. You don't return my phone calls. Nothing. We got a history. You know, you have an obligation here to stay in touch with your dad.
What?
I feel like I'm yelling to my kids. That's what happened. I see. Yeah, right. I got sidetracked.
Just to force a habit, really, when you get down to it, you know. So you never come by to see me. You never have dinner or anything. You never.
I know I'm supposed to, but I just don't feel like it, you know. Anyway.
But I do apologize. This is the longest we've ever gone between episodes, and I get emails about it. If you guys called it quits, it probably will never be a show where we fully call it quits. So even if we disappear for a little bit, we're going to try and keep the weekly thing going. It's just we've gotten busy again. And so one of those deals, the show is not going anywhere. This is, if nothing else, you know, we absolutely love our great sponsors, Jim K. Ford, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Let's say they called it a day. Don't do it, fellas. Don't do it.
No.
But if they did, the show would still continue in some format. This is basically me calling Jim to say, what's going on, man?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or sponsor it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, we need more sponsors.
The more sponsors, the more shows.
On this day, Steve, on this day in history.
Oh.
Yeah. In 1999, this day, July 13th.
Okay.
Young Jake was born.
Nice.
My middle son. Yeah. And because you're
a week later, right? From Lindsay?
Yeah, our kids are the same age. Yeah. Our kids. Like Sydney and Lindsay. Sid's 27.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in 96, makes her 27. And Jake is in 99. And Wyatt, I got a third. Wyatt is 02. So I know, yeah, they always ran them. They still do, Steve.
Yes,
funny
they
how
do.
That works, you know,
and always will. Apparently,
yeah. I remember when they were only a week apart in age. That was a long time. And now they're 7 years different. No. That was always my favorite line from a guy I played golf with. When I go into Sudbury next week for that big tournament, and I played with a guy, older than me.
Yeah,
and I've told you this before. It's still my all time favorite line. And he's like, "Holy God, Jungle! I remember when I was like 11 years older than you."
The line when I think about fatherhood and stuff that I always use with you, or not with you, but that I steal from you, I have for about 20 years now, is that anytime anybody tells me that they're about to have their first child, I give them the old, doesn't change your life a bit, does it?
Yeah, you're just going to get up each day and forget you have one. Yeah. Stevie. This may be day number two. I was tweeting out yesterday that it never happens very often. Okay? Very often. Because yesterday was a day where there was zero sports.
Right.
Okay? No NHL, obviously. No NBA. No MLB. And no NFL.
Crazy.
I said, this is crazy. And then I got up today and said, all right, this is the second day. I see the lazy baseball guys took 2 days off after the All-Star game. So
after anyway. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. won the home run derby, he and his dad becoming the first two, first father-son team to win the home run derby. And this happens every year. Every year around this time, this is the dog days, the true dog days when there is jack squat going on in sports. Although the Ottawa Red Blacks are probably taking exception to our conversation right now.
They play tonight? Are they playing tonight? Thursday?
Their next game is, I should have that in front of me. I think it's Friday. Don't quote me on that, but they do have a game this weekend. And
there is Thursday night football in the CFL. In fact, last week it was 4 days in a row, Thursday, Fry, Sat, and the Sun, Stevie, Bundy P.
Well, you just stop.
So there's some sports.
Yeah, Hamilton is taking on your Elks tonight. Man, your Elks are brutal. And I apologize. The Red Blacks are actually in action Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m., taking on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And they got some terrible news. Jeremiah Masoli missed the entire year last year, got hurt in week four, really low blow, cheap shot, finally gets back in the lineup, and he wrecks his other leg. Achilles tendon tear, out for the season. Awful stuff. Yeah, I mean, just bad luck. And to rehab for an entire year and have that happen in the first half of your first game back, that sucked. That sucked hard.
Yeah. And also, Steve, has this been so long that we didn't recognize there's a new owner for the Ottawa Sens?
I don't say Ottawa Sens. That's just like nails on a chalkboard to me. But you could say Sens. You could say Senators or Ottawa Senators.
What?
Or even Ott if you want. But you can't say Ottawa Sens.
Oh, fuck off. I could say that. How about that?
Yeah. No, we have done.
Fuck off?
Yeah. Stop it. Oh, you can't. You can't.
You can't. You can't. That distracts Stevie. Exactly. One of his favorite moments in the radio. I know.
That was so funny. An off-air moment. Anyways, I forget where we're going there now. Oh, yes. We're talking about the Red Blacks, and you're talking about Andlauer. And I think we have done a show since Michael Andlauer bought the Ottawa Senators. I think that's true. It has been a long time, though. Maybe we haven't.
Introducing the all-new 2023 Ford Bronco Sport, now available at Jim K. Ford. With its rugged design and off-road capabilities, this SUV is built for adventure. Whether you're heading off the beaten path or just cruising around town, the Bronco Sport delivers performance, comfort, and style. With four-wheel drive, terrain management system, and advanced safety technology, you can take on any road with confidence. Adventure awaits at 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
I may put it up to listen to, Stevie. I just finished doing a life story, like a 10-hour, 11, maybe 12-hour life story of a guy named Cal Nichols, who you will remember the name when I tell you what it was all about. Is Cal Nichols headed up the 38 partners that bought the Oilers and stepped up to save the Oilers from Peter Pocklington. And we spent a couple hours talking about how that whole thing came down, how it worked, how they somehow managed to save the team. Could you think about that? Nothing can go wrong there with 38 different guys who, as Cal said, were really dictators of their own companies.
Right. You know, all they all have money, right?
They all have money. They all put in $1 million minimum. That was sort of one vote, one lot. They were sold in $1 million lots. And, but they pulled it off. They pulled it off. They had to, speaking of ownership, they had to raise 60 mil and then borrow another 50 mil from the banks. And the short end of it is they did. They pulled it off at the midnight hour. Totally intriguing story. Totally good. So I don't know how I can do it. But the Oilers were, and I hope it never happens to Ottawa, which it won't now. They got a new owner. But they were perilous, right? They were down to 6,000 season tickets. They did a ticket drive. And so a bunch of these guys originally got together, Steve, to sell tickets. And I said, this is the greatest idea of all time. Okay. To sell season's tickets. So all these guys are big hitters, Steve. Right. They all have their own companies, you know, everyone from the Brick to Cal, who owned, you know, 50 gas stations in the West called Gasland, to, Randy Gregg's brother, Gary has a distribution company that is the size of Amazon. Okay. Yeah. So what those guys did, Steve, they had a ticket drive first. Okay. While Pocklington was fucking around, right? Pocklington ran up $100 million debt and the bank called in the debt. And that's how, that's how these guys had to step up. But before that, they had the ticket drive. What they did, Steve, for example, the Brick looked at all their suppliers. Okay. And that would be, you know, Sealy Posturepedic, Maytag Appliances, Pioneer Stereo, all these, you know, these, and they're a big buyer, Steve. Mm-hmm. And they went and looked at, they researched a bunch of cities, Steve, and they figured out where these guys were all doing business in Edmonton, but hadn't bought season's tickets.
Oh.
So they ended up getting a phone call from Bill Comrie, and he said, "Hey, you don't have any season's tickets with the Oilers. Here's what you're going to do, because I'm your biggest client. Okay. You're buying two corporate suites and 25 season's tickets, you know?" And it's heavy-handed, but it's, you know, reciprocity, right, is the way these things work. And,
sure.
And that's how they saved the team. That's how they did it. They
and went what year would that be?
They owned it from 97, 98 to, for 10 years to 2008. And then Daryl Cates bought the team. So anyway, I spent the week talking about that with him. And I thought of the Sens, you know, how lucky it is that it's in good stead, you know?
Yeah, I hope it is, because I heard it's about, I don't know, last month now, where, and this is obviously not my world. This just in, I'm not a billionaire. I got this note from a guy who has tons of money, mm-hmm. and he got a note in his general inbox, mind you, from what's called Project Sens, which is the Michael and Lauer Consortium. And again, this wasn't addressed to him directly. It was basically, again, in the general inbox, wondering if he'd be interested in being a minority owner in the Ottawa Senators' new ownership group.
Well,
I don't know if that's standard practice or not.
How about that email you open up in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy, like I say, this guy's got, you know, so much money and could do it. But I just found it interesting as he showed me this email. Like, is that standard operating procedure for a billionaire that's about to take over an NHL franchise? He's committed a $950 million U.S. price tag. We know he's got co-owners like Jason York's brother, Jeff, yeah. who's involved with the Farm Boy chain. And there are others as well, Claridge Homes. So we know there's more owners. There's more minority owners in here. But I'm wondering about that. Like, okay, got to finalize this thing before the end of this the off season. And maybe it's normal. I don't know. But I found it kind of interesting.
I'll tell you what the problem, like some of the problems these guys were up against before, you know, when they formed the partnership, before they even sat down to make a decision, Steve. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you going to look at layoffs or hirings or when, you know, in 38 guys? So they formed a board, right? So the guys who put in the most money formed this board, and a lot of it was deferred to the board, right? They had to. Otherwise, you'd never be able to get anything done, you know? Here's the problem they had, Steve, besides the obvious, right? But they set up this board, and that's who most of the decisions came to. They had to do it that way. You couldn't go to 38. You know, well, hang on, I got to talk to guy 22 and see what he thinks, you know. Is when they went to pitch tickets, is there was so much hangover from the Gretzky trade that they got way more no's than they thought. You know, like these guys were all proud. They were high-fiving. They raised the $110 million, and they thought, this is great. There won't be another issue with trying to keep the team going. And many of these guys who were former season ticket holders said, no, they traded Wayne and I'm done. You know, they got rid of Grant Fuhr, you know, done. They raised the price of fucking concession stuff. So I'm done. You know, right. It's just like, oh my God, are you kidding me? When, you know, they just assume these 38 guys, you got to give them a lot of credit, you know, that who knew what's going to happen with the team. They were in a terrible run, you know, where they were doing shitty. But anyway, they pulled it off. They pulled it off.
So. Yeah, the Sens had the same effect here with, I think it's over now. I mean, Mr. Melnick's passing, a much, much better team on the ice. They're about to get going, and I think everybody's energy and excitement level for the Ottawa Senators is renewed. I think we're going to see better season ticket sales as we move forward, and a new owner coming in with, apparently, my email story notwithstanding, apparently as, you know, the kind of funds you need to run a hockey team properly. So it's, I'm interested to see how it all plays out from that perspective, but it's sort of, when you're talking about the Oilers and the post Gretzky hangover, you think about the last 6 years here, no playoffs, Eugene Melnick, not well liked in the community by a lot of people,
right?
Lots of people being fired and lots of people leaving the organization as far as popular players like Erik Karlsson, Mark Stone, J.G. Pageau, and the list goes on. So, I think Sens fans can relate to what Oilers fans were feeling in that particular story. What else do we got today?
Well, as a segue, Steve, didn't you send me a headline about dude going to Detroit? Was it DeBrincat?
Yep, Alex DeBrincat is now a member of the Detroit Red Wings, and I mean, it's initially I was on the DeBrincat side of things because, you know, I mean, you're a year away from unrestricted free agency And initially the thought was, okay, he has nothing against Ottawa. He likes it here, likes the players, likes the coach. And I was hearing from a family source with the DeBrincat family that, you know, it's nothing personal against the Senators. He'd love to stay there, but UFA only comes along once in a career and it's coming up next year. So he's looking at a 1-year deal with Ottawa and then go to UFA or whatever, or get traded, whatever the Sens decide to do. And I was being pretty protective of DeBrincat because of this source I had. Well, as it turns out, his first day in Detroit, he was like, oh yeah, there was lots of better options out there for me. Oh, okay. Oh. So that was right out the window. So I guess I've changed now to kind of protecting the guy to don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Right.
DeBrincat was traded for winger Dominik Kubalík, defense prospect Donovan Cibrango, and a first rounder. It's conditional. Probably Boston or Detroit's first rounder next year. Could be the year after. And then a fourth rounder on top of that. So I think it's as good as the Sens could possibly do under the circumstances, though you have to kind of look at things. When you make a deal with a guy like DeBrincat, last summer is when Pierre Dorion made this trade. How much information can you get? Like, the Sens acquired DeBrincat from Chicago last summer, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And at that stage of the game, clearly, Dorion is hoping that this guy will re-sign long-term here. But you can't have a conversation, apparently, with DeBrincat or his agent until the deal goes down. I don't know. But that's a weird scenario where you'd make that deal at all if you have any knowledge that he's going to be gone after 1 year. Because they gave up a first rounder, they gave up a second rounder, and a third rounder to get DeBrincat. And so you probably don't make that trade for a guy who's one and done here in Ottawa. So it was, it's a funky thing. Like, if you want to make a deal, you don't necessarily have all the information from the player. Like, what are his long-term plans? Does he have interest in being in Ottawa in 2 years' time or signing long-term? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's kind of like this LIV golf tour thing, right? That Dustin Johnson, I've found out today that he was in Idaho.
Is this a scoop?
It's I guess it's a slight scoop, but so he's talking to Russ. And of course, the deal is LIV and the PGA have merged now through thick and thin. And Russ was saying to Dustin, I feel sorry for Dusty and do you for a bunch of these guys, that they lost out on a bunch of money, because there were several guys who got offered a lot of money. Okay. Right. Who obviously not everyone took it. And Dustin immediately cut Russ off and said, I don't feel sorry for those guys for 1 second. I don't feel sorry for them for 1 second. They don't deserve any more money now that they've merged. And the reason is they had the same information I did.
Right.
They had the identical information I did. There was no inside. There was no nudge, nudge, wink, wink with me and my deal and or any of that shit, So it's like when you see that people get pissed in hockey, Steve, when they, we paid, like, I don't know, what's Carlson's salary? Like 10, 11 million bucks a year.
11.5.
I knew you'd know that right now. and then they go to another team, right? And everyone's like, that's not very loyal. And I used to say this myself. That's not very loyal, And we go, and you went to another team just for more money. And the guy goes, yes.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the way sports is, it's cash, man. It's cash, it's DeBrincat to say that shit after, right, Steve, it just drives you bananas. As you said, you could have maybe let us know, dude, little bit, or, it's like Dubas when that idiot, when they interviewed him, he thought he was bulletproof, right? He thought he was like, and when he started saying, Steve, well, I'll have to put some thought to it, whether I come back to Toronto. I need to think of things with my family.
Right. Steve. It's either here or nowhere.
Yeah, it's either, you're right. And Shanahan goes, I'll make that decision for you. Fucking beat it. You're out.
Right.
Who do you think you are, right? So you can't be bigger than the sport, Stevie. Right?
Yeah.
You're not bigger than.
And I can almost respect it if DeBrincat were, just going somewhere for the money, because, he'd only been in Ottawa for a year. And, maybe you you want, you feel like Ottawa isn't going to spend the kind of money or whatever. But he just left because he wanted to leave Ottawa. He wanted to go somewhere else, and he's back home. Yeah. That's a big factor as well. He's a Michigan kid. So, you know, his wife's from Michigan. His parents are still there. They're really excited that he's home. So that's a factor, but it's just like, it seemed like there were better fits out there for me. Not just the Red Wings. It wasn't like just a desire to go home. There were about 9 other teams out there that he was negotiating with that he could have gone to.
Right.
It was only a 4-year deal and under $8 million. And so the Sens could have done that, but he just wanted to go somewhere else. That's what I think rubs Sens fans the wrong way.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Moving on. Back to your Oilers for a second. Evander Kane, he plays beer league summer hockey.
What?
Yeah, he apparently plays. He got a Philadelphia Flyer uniforms in the beer league, and it launched all kinds of discussion in Edmonton about whether or not the NHL should perhaps consider summer hockey. You know, if Evander Kane is out there and, you know, playing a little beer league action. And we're not talking a pro skate. There's pro skates that go on in the summertime all the time, though usually a little later in the summer when guys get going with skating. But this was guys like me. He's out there playing with some drinking buddies. And right. You know, so when you see NHLers out there in the summertime, would you like to see more NHL hockey? Would you like to see professional summer hockey that, you know, well, I don't know. I'm not sure NHL teams would permit this, but. Would you like to see more pro hockey throughout the summer?
Oh, fuck no. Jesus. Enough. Enough already. Enough.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat. You know, they've tried this 3-on-3 hockey, for example. I thought that might be somewhat compelling. Three ice, it's called. And it's the league where they tour and they have little
still
tournaments.
Alive, that thing?
Yeah, it's still going. Oh. But, where the coaches are more famous than the actual players. You got Grant Fuhr for one.
Right.
Your
right,
old buddy.
Right.
He's a coach of one of the teams. And Joe Mullen, I think, is a coach of one of the teams. All kinds of ex-NHLers that are coaching in it. And then the players go out and play 3-on-3. It just doesn't work as the meat. It's a great cherry on top of the dessert that is the NHL to have 3-on-3, but it doesn't work if that's the meal. And I'm just not into that. But anyway, they've tried different things. And I tend to agree with you that it would not work in the summer. I feel like I don't feel robbed at the end of a regular season. Oh, I wish it was longer. Two months of playoffs after that. There's one exception, though. I've always, because I grew up on it, the Canada Cup. You know, I'm very old. So when I was very small, I remember the 72 Summit Series. Those things took place in September. And I was okay with that. I had a little time off, 2-3 months or whatever it is at the end of the NHL season. By the time September rolls around, minor hockey starting up, that's not a bad spot for somebody to try and do something that's maybe a little different.
Yeah. I'll tell you what is refreshing, Steve.
What's that?
Okay. I love this quote from Bedard, Stevie, before the draft, obviously. And I think I
very
really
obvious, very obvious.
Very obvious, yeah. If I'm pick number one, it would be awesome. I think whether you get drafted first or whatever round, it's a dream come true. If I get the honor, it'd be unreal. I'd be super grateful to the people who have helped me with that. For now, I'm just kind of focusing on what I can do to improve myself as a player. It'd be unbelievable to go number one, but we'll see what happens. I'd love that response from that kid. We haven't had a chance to talk about it, Steve. That's why.
Right. What do you like
about it? Refreshing, though, Steve, isn't it? Well, because everyone thought he'd be a showboat, a hot shot. I just think it's cool. I think he's well spoken and brilliant. You know, brilliant.
He's will 17, he be as dominant?
He's 17, Steve. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and he's going to be excellent, right? Right. I think most people feel like he's going to be a generational talent. Although I found it odd. I think we talked about that in a recent episode where the head of NHL Central Scouting was comparing him to McDavid. What? Easy now. Easy. Whoa, yeah, I think McDavid is like, I think he's only behind Gretzky and Esposito now as guys who finished top two scoring more times than Connor McDavid. So, and the guy, this just in, he has a little bit of a career left. So yeah, let's go easy. The guy, like you just said, he's 17 years of age, and it's not you and I talking about in a podcast that will never get to Connor Bedard anyway. Right. It might be. I mean, he might be a big listener. I have no idea. But we're talking NHL Central Scouting. It made headlines. And let's dial back the expectations of a 17-year-old. Let's see if, you know, he can get in there and get his feet wet first before you start making these grandiose predictions.
That thing I just brought up, Steve, is such an old story. He may be 18 by now.
It could be. It could be. All right. Let's take a timeout and regroup here, and we'll be back after these words.
Looking for a vehicle that's environmentally friendly and fun? Look no further than the Ford Mustang Mach-E, available now at Jim K. Ford. This electric car will have you laughing all the way to the bank with savings on gas and maintenance costs without giving up excitement and performance. And with zero emissions, you can finally breathe easy, literally. So if you want a car that's as exhilarating as it is eco-friendly, come down to Jim K. Ford today and take a spin in one of our Mach-Es today. Visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you need help navigating this tough Ottawa housing market, call the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. For sellers, Glenn's services include staging, painting, cleaning, and of course, negotiating all the offers coming in. By the way, all the services I just mentioned there, it's all part of the deal, part of the deal. For buyers, Glenn has the expertise to help you land your dream home when competing with so many other offers out there. So if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, contact Glenn Walton today. Glenn Walton. .com. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Am I rolling Stevie today or what?
Oh, yes. There's no rust on you. No rust on you after a couple of weeks off.
I'll give you I'll tell you what, folks. 24, Stevie, comes after 23.
Yes. Yes, it does.
I'm usually good at math, Steve. We're talking about this story you floated here from some guy, Cooper, whoever he is. But there could be big changes with the broadcast crew on Rogers.
Yeah, Hockey Night in Canada. And now let's put this in perspective. It's a website. And I only bring this up because a lot of people are reacting to it on social media. And I have not seen anybody that I've heard of kind of picking up on it. But certainly the fan bases and hockey fans across Canada who are on social media are slowly reacting to this over the course of the day. And this is here on Thursday, July the 13th. It's a website called Canucks Daily. Big changes reportedly coming to Hockey Night in Canada next season. And he quotes an old radio guy by the name of Howard Berger.
I remember Howard. Yeah.
He worked for a long time in Toronto, and now is just snippy with people on social media these days. But he says, "We may not recognize the Hockey Night in Canada panel next season," the source told Berger. "Based on what I'm told, only Elliot Friedman is safe from the changes and cost-cutting measures on the horizon." And so that would, if that's accurate, that would leave Kevin Bieksa, Ron McLean, Kelly Rudy, Jennifer Botterill on the sideline. What would you think of that? Again, this is take the sources for what they're worth.
Okay.
But that, what do you think?
Here's what I think, Steve. So you know who the whole crew is, Botterill, Bieksa, Kelly Rudy, Elliot Friedman, Ron McLean. So if you look at those names and they go, only one person is going to survive, okay? I would bet my bottom dollar, Stevie, it would be Ron McLean, not Elliot Friedman. I don't. Yeah, I don't get that at all. Well, the only way I get it is, yeah, Jim, but he makes a tenth of the money Ron does. So
Social media presence as well. Like Elliot Friedman is a god in social media. Look at the followers he's got and the activity that he's got compared to Ron McLean, who rarely chimes in on social media.
Anyway, that's what I would think. But and Ron's a friend of mine. And I know Ron. He's incredible, right? The guy started in 1985, and whipped the tape ahead. So he's almost 40 years, man. One gig, Stevie. One gig. Same gig. Okay?
Only 26 when he took over.
Yeah. Unbelievable. You know? Unbelievable what he did. So, I don't know. I guess the money thing's always there. What I disagree with, because I think the guy was so refreshing and so good, as Kevin Bieksa. I hope they don't get rid of that guy.
Right.
Based on this rumor here that they're gonna dump people.
I like them all. I don't mind any of them, to be honest. I find the
Kelly Rudy. Yeah, you're right. Kelly's,
And Jennifer Botterill, I didn't like her at first, but she really came into her own as we went, as she got more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I like them all fine. If I have one criticism, it would be the quantity factor, not the quality factor, that weird round table effect. Right. And I don't really need that many analysts, to be honest. I think once you get one, you got one guy asking questions, the Ron McLean chair, and then two people that are giving their takes. I think that's loads, especially in a broadcast world that is shrinking the way it is. It seems really excessive and exorbitant to have that many salaries sitting up there. That's, and not to mention from a viewer standpoint, I don't need that many people's opinions. A couple is fine. Let's move on to the next topic.
Right. Right. I'll tell you what they did, Steve, which was a mistake. And the elephant in the room there is, okay, that's all fine, costs, yada, yada. Who's going to replace Ron McLean? Okay. Mm-hmm. The role of everyone's still going to be the same, Stevie, right? Maybe they do chop it by two, but it's going to be a panel, discussing between periods and working their tail off every weekend. Remember, Steve, they tried it with, is it George Strombolopoulos?
That's it.
Is that the, right? And they got killed. They got crushed. Okay. I mean, demoed, man. They got demoed, right? It doesn't surprise me, Steve, they're talking about changes because, in fairness to that panel, the ratings were going to be down because of the two teams in the Stanley Cup final, right? Right.
Yeah.
With Vegas, beating, who'd they play? Carolina, Florida. Right? Or Florida. Sorry. Yeah. Just showed you who didn't tune in, Steve.
Even if you had tuned in for every second, I would have just assumed you would have forgotten by now.
Yeah, exactly. So it dropped by like 50% or something, mm-hmm. Over recent years. So, a little bit in fairness to the panel, but for sure someone's going to look up and go, okay, wait a minute here. Okay, we got to make changes. So I hope it's not, we're going to go way outside the box, and we're going to bring in a guy who used to host on Much Music, right? Because we think he'll be good.
Right.
No. We're going to bring in Terry David Mulligan, Stevie. Okay.
Wow. There's a blast from the past.
Wow. Right? Yeah. We're going to bring in Lowell Green, Stevie.
Why not?
A little local. So who are you going to replace him with? And Ronnie can drive, naysayers can, he can drive people crazy, Stevie, because they think he sort of struggles for his spot and his go-to is a history lesson about a player or a town or a city or an arena or a, he's got this incredible memory. And, mm-hmm. and so when they're talking what a play that was, where they won the faceoff, whipped around the boards and all that. And then Ron goes, okay, don't forget those boards. They were put in 1971, and the board on the left. Okay. That's survivor. I'm being funny. Right. But that's what some of the people say. I disagree, right? I love Ronnie's stories, and I love Ron, but who the fuck would they ever get to replace him?
Yeah, I've always been under the impression that he'd go to the end of this contract, and then that would be it. He'd retire, probably TSN, guys at Bell Media. Right. Although, who knows what the contract's going to be next, because we're watching Bell Media get out of the sports business to some degree, at least the sports radio business, again and again, taking down stations. And so is Bell Media going to step up and spend the kind of money that they need to spend to outbid Rogers to get the rights back after 12 years? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's always been my assumption, that you'll have Sportsnet that's kind of shell-shocked here.
Right.
Oh, my God, I can't believe over 12 years we just spent $5 billion. And they never recouped that. They didn't. It's just almost impossible. But they had to do something grand to get the rights away from the other guys. And so now I've always thought that this contract will end. Somehow Bell Media will end up back with it, or whoever ends up back with it. And then James Duthie becomes your next Ron McLean again.
Good one.
That's what I think. I think that's the game plan. But, if this blogger's right, and or Howard Berger's right, and big changes are coming sooner than later, then, that could be off the table, and they might have to go shopping for a new host. And honestly, I don't know who that would be right now.
I'm going to put your name forward.
All right, then.
I'm going to do that. That'd be fun, Stevie. We could do a little segment. Huh? If you're the host.
Yeah. It's kind of what our puppets are doing right now.
Yeah. I know, before you go to Elliot, Steve, I just want to mention that she's plowable. Right? Something like that, Stevie. Just to lighten it up a little bit. Oh, boy.
I honestly thought that puppets line was going to have you falling over sideways.
I just got it, actually. I just got it. Yeah, it's kind of what our puppets are doing. and that was all my idea, yeah, to send a tape of us shooting the shit to TSN thinking it'd be a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite there. Kind of what our puppets are doing.
It was the best. It was absolutely the best. Really,
yeah. I wish we had that. I got to see if Kenny Wall still has that audio.
You got to hear it, because the guy, if we were to paraphrase, right, it would be, sorry, you guys have nothing to offer us.
Yes, yes.
Hey, that would sort of paraphrase it, wouldn't it, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are brutal and you have nothing to offer us.
Yeah. And he wouldn't stop trying to be nice.
Yeah.
It just went on and on. Not much pace there and not that funny. All three of you are actually kind of ugly. Nothing personal, but it's kind of what our puppets are doing. And it went on and on.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
great. So good. Yeah. Anyway, we'll call it quits right there. That was a fun moment for sure. And don't forget, you can catch us. SteveWProject.com is our website. By the way, I changed my Twitter handle. I'm now...
You got off the TSN boat.
Yeah, a meteoric switch. I don't know why I did it so quickly. Yeah, I'm not TSN Steve any longer. Feels good, actually. Feels lighter. So
lay it on me.
Boring Steve Warren Media. So you can catch me there on Twitter. What is your job? Might as well give you a plug, too, on Twitter.
Let me look it up. Fuck, I don't know.
You don't know. Why would you know?
I don't know my Twitter.
Is it at Jungle Jerome? Is that
Jungle Jim
right?
Jerome at Jungle Jerome?
At Jungle Jerome. There you go.
It's Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always talk about you on Instagram. So
no, you don't. You're on Instagram. I didn't know that.
I'm on Instagram.
Yeah. Are you on Threads?
I'm on Threads. What?
Are you on Threads?
No, that's personal and private, Steve.
Is
what
it?
What the fuck does that mean? What does that mean?
I can't believe you're not on Threads yet. No, it's the new Mark Zuckerberg version of Twitter. So Zuckerberg being the Facebook owner, and he's now going head to head with Elon Musk and basically has created his own Twitter. I've gone to Threads. You can follow me there also at Steve Warren Media. And I have no idea what the advantage of Threads is over Twitter.
Stevie. I think it's Jungle Jerome, and here's my bio.
Your bile or your bio?
Bile. It's bile and bio at the same time. Listen to the podcast, Suspendables Inside Curly, SWP, Steve Warren Project.
Nice. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate
You're welcome,
that.
Man.
Appreciate
yeah,
that.
Jungle Jerome. Yeah.
Okay. And that's a nice place to call it quits, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much to Jason K, to Jim K, and everybody at Jim K Ford. Thanks to the Glenn Walton real estate team. And thank you, the Patreon members as well. Thank you, all of you, for being such great members. And thanks to all the great listeners for checking us out today. We will not be 2 weeks before our next episode. We're going to squeeze in a couple more in the next week here. So
Teaser, Stevie. You know how good I am at the teasers?
Yeah.
So people will tune in to the next show.
Okay.
It's called the teaser. I will give you my handle for Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Next show.
Why don't you look next it show. Up? You're going to Sudbury, right? Are you joining us from Sudbury, or are you taking some time off again?
I'm joining you, baby.
Yep. All right.
I'm off to Sudbury for the big match. 75th year in a row they've done the big match play tournament. And off I go, Steve, to frustrate myself. I haven't played one game of golf yet, Steve.
One really?
Game. Yeah. I've gone to the range, though, a few times. In fact, I'm going to go now. And I'll tell you what, Stevie, I'm hitting it a little crisper than I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, there may be good things to come. My over-under, Steve, the qualifying day is Friday, a week tomorrow. My over, I want to shoot 81. That's how far down the scale I fucking slipped, Stevie.
Okay? I'm always happy with an 81. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'll be happy with an 81. So save that number in your head, Stevie. And but I'm bringing all my stuff, baby.
Beauty. Yep.
Well, I'll be doing shows from the shore of Lake Nepuan.
Nice. Oh, this would be one of those deals where you're calling me at like 11 at night. I'm on an island with no internet. I don't know where I am. And I don't know if I can do the show.
I'm on an island. That's mentally when I'm saying that, Steve. That's mentally, okay, not physically. I'm on an island all by myself. Okay. I don't think I can do life. I don't think I can do life. And heartwarming response from you all the time. Yeah, yeah, okay, but when can you do a show?
Yeah, exactly.
Steve, I'm drowning here in my own feelings.
Okay. They're there. When are you going? When's the show? Yeah, we go.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.